Well, it's summertime and the season's fine to pick up a book and to take some time. Meet some local authors here on WNIJ.
This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with the fourth and final installment of our summer book series. Today, we invited Robert Halenga to discuss his new book, The Confessions of Francis Godwin. You might remember the author from our winter book series when we talked about Snake Woman of Little Egypt. Professor Halenga, welcome back to Morning Edition.
It's very nice to be here.
I think the best way to begin this interview is to have you read the note to the reader at the beginning of Confessions. Why don't you read that and then we'll talk afterward.
Here we go. Before I begin, let me say that I seriously considered writing these confessions, which are really a kind of spiritual autobiography, in third person, so I could get a little ironic distance on myself, could see around myself, no more than I know myself. But that would have been to create an illusion. All narrators are first-person narratives. You can't get ironic distance on yourself, can't see around yourself, can't know more than you know. So what's the point of pretending? Besides, I'm an old, well, older woman now. Is it likely that the police will come knocking at my door again with their warrants and handcuffs and Miranda rights? Or that the Vatican will come down on me like a ton of bricks, the way Pope Gregory VII came down on Henry IV at Canossa? In the unlikely event that either of these things happens, I'll just say I forgot. I'll just say that I made it all up.
And so begins the fictional memoir of a retired Latin teacher named Francis Godwin. We get hints there of trouble with the police and with the Catholic Church. I should say I read three of your novels, and all of them feature first-person female narrators. For a writer, what does the first-person perspective bring to a novel that you just can't get from a story told in third person?
I think with the first person, you can have that sort of relaxed, like I'm addressing you as the reader. Let me explain this thing to you right now.
And the female voice, what drives you to write from a woman's perspective rather than a man's?
I have three daughters, and we're very close, and I'm inclined to see the world through their eyes. In fact, I've grown up in a house full of women, so I never gave it a thought till people started saying, oh, you wrote from a point of view of a woman. And in all the comments on Amazon and whatnot, I've only seen two that said, One person said, well, I knew right away this wasn't written by a woman. And recently I saw something else like that. So I don't know. I think it served me well. And also, this is a really exciting time to be a woman because the women are starting to come up with their own stories, make their own decisions, make a lot more noise in the world. So that's the second reason.
When we meet Frances in the first chapter, she is attending her final graduation ceremony as a teacher at Galesburg High School, where she taught for 4 decades. Her husband, Paul, is dead, and she has no idea what she'll do with the rest of her life. But just as she thinks her life is winding down, it winds back up again. Without giving away too much information, Frances commits a crime. And sometime after this, God starts speaking to her. These are long, involved conversations about everything from the Big Bang
to Latin.
In Latin, even. Yeah. And of course, God tells Frances to confess her crime.
So this is after she's murdered her son-in-law, and I'm not going to keep that a secret. She hears this voice speaking to her in Latin as she's waiting in the back of the church. She's waiting for Father Viglietti to get done hearing confessions so they can go for a drink. And that's how it gets started. And she and God chat a little bit in Latin. And he says, you know, the line is getting short. You should get in line and go to confession. She says, I'm not going to confession. That son of a bitch deserved to die, you know. And now the cat is out of the bag.
All right, newsflash.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing, getting back to the voice of God, I'm guessing you're not someone who takes a rigid interpretation of the Bible, otherwise you wouldn't assume the role of God in the story. But this book, like your previous books, asks a question that is central to having faith or not having faith. Is there something out there that takes an interest in us, or is the universe indifferent? How can a writer's own faith, or lack thereof, help when addressing this question in a novel?
Well, I think I've always tried to treat it with a sense of humor, and it's fairly humorous in this sense. in the case of Frances. It's not jokey, but I hope there's a kind of light touch about it. Frances doesn't want this one act, the murder of her son-in-law, to define the rest of her life. And that's her struggle through the rest of the story.
A coworker of mine who's an alumna of Monmouth College reminded me that your wife taught Latin there.
Yes.
I understand she's retired now. How much of the character Frances is modeled after your wife, Virginia?
Oh, I don't think so. she's not really retired. She's substituting every day now.
Okay.
And enjoying that. But no, I've got my mother is a Latin teacher and my wife. Frances, I really don't think it derives from either one of those, other than knowing some Latin.
Robert Helenga is the author of 7 books, most recently The Confessions of Frances Godwin. At WNIJ.org, you can hear him read an excerpt from this novel. Robert Helenga, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
You can also find out more about the other authors featured in our summer book series. Again, that's at WNIJ.org. I'm Dan Klefstad.